A ransomware attack hitting computers across the world Tuesday, taking out servers at Russia's biggest oil company, disrupting operations at Ukrainian banks, and shutting down computers at multinational shipping and advertising firms. The ransomware virus crippled computers running Microsoft Windows by encrypting hard drives and overwriting files, then demanded $300 in Bitcoin payments to restore access.
Continue the discussions within our conference on the differences that we have, that we're continuing to try to litigate. Consequently, we will not be on the bill this week, but we're still working toward getting at least 50 people in a comfortable place. The White House has been very much involved in these discussions. They're very anxious to help, and we appreciate the invitation, and I hope all of our members will head down. I think that will likely be the case.
In the middle of the waters of the Gulf of Mexico lies BP's massive Thunder Horse deep-sea drilling oil platform. BP is betting the Gulf is still prime real estate, and drilling here is worth the money and risk it entails. Freeport MacMoran and Devon Energy have pulled out of Gulf drilling entirely in recent years. But the Gulf is still one of America's most prolific oil-producing areas, trailing only Texas onshore production. And BP wants to capitalize on it.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Wednesday. It is June 28th, 2017. Glad you're here with us for another edition of The Opening Bell. Another business day. Lots going on this morning. A little bit later in the program, we're going to be talking about the aging demographic of college kids. Not really kids anymore, more like adults. And we'll tell you why the number is going up. And in just a few seconds, we'll bring in our first guest here to talk about the beverage tax that's going to go into effect this week in Cook County this weekend. We will talk with the Illinois Retail Merchants Association about that. But first, the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning. Global stock market sell-off is pulling most Asian benchmarks lower. Investors are retreating following losses in Europe and Wall Street yesterday. Hong Kong's Hang Seng led the declines this morning, almost 0.7%. By late afternoon, it was down to about 0.5%. On the board this morning, we're looking for a week open on Wall Street. A little bit later on, Dow futures are higher, but the NASDAQ futures are lower, signaling tech stocks are still under pressure. NASDAQ futures off about 11 points right now. Crude oil is trading lower as well at $44.11 a barrel. On the board in Asia, the Nikkei's off almost 100 points. The Hang Seng off 155. The Shanghai is off about 18 points. The Asian Dow is off just about 5 points. In Europe, most of the markets, the big markets at least, are lower, with the CAC off about 19 points. That's good for a third. The DAX is off about 0.5%, down about 70 points this morning. Back in this country and around the world, gold and silver are trading a little bit higher this morning. A couple of stories we're watching for you. Of course, this big cyber attack, a new and highly virulent outbreak of data scrambling software, apparently began in the Ukraine, caused disruptions around the world yesterday, and they're still fighting it in many places this morning. A similar attack like this in May. This fresh cyber assault has paralyzed some buildings, government buildings, and major multinational corporations, including at least one in the United States, apparently impacting a suburban company, too. Mondelez International, the owner of food brands like Oreo and Nabisco, reported it was affected. Merck also, the drug maker, also impacted by this. So that'll be front and center today as we continue monitoring that. A Delaware bankruptcy judge has granted several preliminary orders allowing Japanese auto parts supplier Takata to move forward with its bankruptcy, which includes the sale of most of its assets to a Chinese-owned rival. Takata forced into bankruptcy this week amid lawsuits, multi-million-dollar fines, and crushing costs related to the recall and replacements of tens of millions of lethally defective airbags, those inflators specifically, responsible for at least 16 deaths. Here in this county, here in the city, we're all eyes on what will happen this Saturday It is a beverage tax scheduled to go into effect July 1st. And yesterday, a group of retailers sued Cook County to try to block the sweetened beverage tax scheduled to go into effect, arguing it's unconstitutional and too vague for stores to implement. We're happy to have with us this morning Rob Carr. He's the president and CEO of the Illinois Retail Merchants Association. Rob, good morning. Welcome to the Opening Bell.
Good morning, Steve. Good to be with you.
A lot of people looking at this, many different opinions on it. You are in court, though, and you are looking for a temporary restraining order. Tell us about what your game plan is here.
Well, we're asking the court to restrain the implementation of the tax, which, as you noted, is set to go into effect Saturday, because the ordinance itself and the rules that the Cook County Department of Revenue have issued, we believe, are unconstitutional on two grounds. First, the ordinance on the fact that it's not uniform. It treats like products differently. And secondly, that it is unconstitutionally vague, that the ordinance itself and the rules that the county has implemented, many within the last 30 days, make it impossible for retailers to calculate the tax properly, exposing them, the retailers, to violations of federal law under the SNAP program, the city, potentially the city's APS rules, the alternative pricing rules, as well as exposing us to potential legal action.
A couple of things we want to tear apart there. First, the Retail Merchants Association, your association, represents, what, about 20,000 retailers across the state?
About 20,000 member stores throughout the state, correct, and of all types and sizes. So from grocers, pharmacies, convenience stores, hardware stores, fashion merchandise, any type of retailer you can think of, we have at least some example of that in our membership.
And the tax that's going into effect really could impact all of those stores, because it's hard really to go into any place that doesn't have a display of pop, soda pop, in the corner or somewhere nearby. How big of a deal is this for them to sort of implement and keep track of?
It's absolutely huge, because it doesn't fit within the normal construct of the sales tax with which they are all familiar. Most states and municipalities implement some sort of a sales tax. As you know, in Illinois, you have a state sales tax rate of 6.25%, actually 5%, and 1.25% goes to municipalities based on population. And then many municipalities, but not all, are allowed to add on their own sales tax up to a certain level. Chicago and Cook County are allowed to go a little higher because of legislation passed years and years ago. But this tax is by weight and volume. So it takes a completely different approach, requires a different systems approach for retailers. So it's a little different.
And the other part of this you mentioned in the argument of your lawsuit is that it treats beverages, the same sweetened, allegedly sweetened beverages, differently. Explain that.
Yeah, and if I could, I need to keep emphasizing that it's not just about soda pop.
Yeah.
It affects beverages of all sizes, all types, from sweetened teas to lemonades to sport drinks, fruit juice drinks. So it really covers the gamut of the beverage aisle in the grocery store that customers spend a lot of their money on. What it does – oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, please, go ahead. I was just going to say, and it even includes diet drinks too, right?
It includes diet drinks, right. It's not just about sugars. Anything that's sweetened, whether it's artificial or otherwise, it affects all of those, and it's a penny per ounce. In terms of your original question about the lack of uniformity, so ready to there are not substantial differences between ready to drink pre-made sweetened beverages, which would be taxed, and on-demand custom sweetened beverages, which would not be taxed. So if you were to go into one restaurant and you were to get a sweetened tea out of the beverage dispenser, that would be taxed. If you were to go to another location and you were to order a sweetened tea and they were to hand make it behind the counter, it would not be taxed. If you were to buy a Frappuccino in a bottle, it would be taxed. If you were to buy a Frappuccino made behind the counter, even though it's identical, it would not be taxed. That sets up a disparity, and I'm no attorney, Steve, but the attorneys say that sets up a clear disparity Between like products, which is not allowed under the Constitution.
Yeah. And, Rob, we're going to talk a little bit more about this. Hang on with us because we're going to take a quick break here. We'll talk about that disparity and how this might unfold here as we move toward the weekend as we continue our conversation with Rob Carr. He's the president and CEO of the Illinois Retail Merchants Association, and we're talking about the sweetened beverage tax that's going to go into effect on Saturday.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now, jitters over the uncertain future of the president's economic plans had investors in retreat yesterday. The Dow closed off 99 points to 21,310. The S&P 500 ended 20 points lower. The Nasdaq gave up some of its record-setting gains, losing 100 points to close at 6146. American Airlines will spend $6 billion to improve the security of carry-on luggage. The company is buying 3D carry-on bag screeners and will install them at 8 airports once they've been certified by the Transportation Security Administration. Forever 21 is wrangling with Gucci over stripes. The two retailers have been filing suits and countersuits over the use of parallel stripes of alternating colored bands. A federal judge in California has been asked to settle the latest dispute. And Facebook says it now has 2 billion people regularly logging on to post photos or look up old flames. That's bigger than the population of any single country on Earth. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. We're on with Rob Carr this morning, president and CEO of the Illinois Retail Merchants Association, talking about the sweetened beverage tax that goes into effect in Chicago and Cook County over the weekend. They have filed a lawsuit to try to stop that. And, Rob, I'd like to talk about that. Obviously, the judge, if he's going to approve this TRO, would have to do it before the weekend. Cook County says it's going to fight this aggressively. What are the chances of you stopping this?
Steve, I would have no idea of measuring the chances, and I wouldn't want to presuppose the judiciary, but obviously we believe we have a very strong case given the county's actions around the tax and the inability of retailers to accurately collect it. And that is an important point here. The county itself is clearly within its authority to impose such a tax. But any tax that's imposed has to be collectible. It has to be able to be done by the person that's being taxed or the entity that's required to tax it. And under this scenario that the county's laid out, it's simply not possible to do. It exposes the retailer to potential legal liabilities on a number of fronts. And anytime you can't reliably collect the tax, it's not a fair tax.
There are some people who've called this sort of a tax on the poor because, people like to drink their sugar drinks, like to drink soda pop. Those people who are going to Starbucks are not going to be taxed for this as people who would go and get a can of diet soda or a can of Coke. What are you thinking about that?
Well, clearly that's one way of looking at it. But we have, customers come into our stores of all types of backgrounds every day, and it doesn't apply to them fairly, regardless of their socioeconomic background. So we just simply want to make sure that it can be done properly, if it's going to be done at all. I think it's important to note that the county's come out with 5 changes in the last 30 days. On how to implement this, which makes it impossible to do. The county built its case for this tax around the theory of health. And I think as we talked before the break, if it was about health, it's doing a poor job of making that effective because of the way it's taxing or not taxing exact identical products.
And the other thing you mentioned earlier that is probably going to be a big impact for the judge looking at this is the impact on SNAP or the food assistance program. It could, you mentioned, make the retailers, some of those retailers, ineligible for that program.
Correct. So you cannot charge a tax on SNAP recipients' purchases. Obviously, the federal government issues those and does not want to be taxed or have those benefits taxed. The way the county structured its ordinance, you have to roll the tax into the price of the product. That is illegal under the SNAP program. Now, the county then came out a couple weeks ago with something saying that, well, no, you don't have to do that. You can give them a refund. Well, you're not allowed to give them a refund. You can't give a SNAP recipient any sort of cash back or thing of value back. So it sets up an impossible situation for the retailer and puts them in violation of the SNAP.
And didn't they also suggest, too, that they wouldn't this tax wouldn't impact the low-income SNAP users?
I think they suggested that. But
they didn't do it.
Clearly, if you didn't do it, right.
Yeah. Where when would you think you might hear from a judge, or could this go to the last minute?
Well, we have a well, I'm not sure how to say it, but a preliminary hearing, I think, today. We expect a full hearing Thursday morning, and then we'll just see the outcome there, depending on whether or not we're successful in the TRO, whether we have to appeal or how, what course it takes.
And this could be one of those situations where if you're a big-time soda drinker, you might want to head to the grocery store now before this tax goes into effect.
Well, that, and then we're getting a tremendous amount of reach out on social media and responses from the news yesterday from consumers who are already stating that they are already making their purchases in bordering communities or bordering states. And once you give them a reason to go somewhere else for some product, they go for other things as well.
Yeah, they might end up doing all of their shopping there. Rob, thank you for being with us this morning here on the Opening Bell.
Steve, thanks for having me. You have a great day.
You too. Rob Kars, the president and CEO of the Illinois Retail Merchants Association.
From ABC News Tech Trends, at this airport, it's bags, tags, and eye scanners? Frequent flyers using the Delta terminal at Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airports are speeding through check-in using a new self-serve kiosk for baggage drops.
This is going to start my check-in process. The difference here is when we check in, it's actually going to print out a bag tag.
Delta's Rick Newkirk says you enter your trip details, scan your documents, and let technology do the rest.
It's going to actually pull the image off of the passport. It's going to take a 3D picture of my face, and then it's going to compare that image to the image on my passport.
You simply attach your printed tag and drop your bag onto the belt, where it's scanned and weighed.
That's actually the laser scanners, and so now it's assigned it to my bag tag, to my bag, and off my bag goes.
So far, passengers like what they see.
If I can speed up the process, so if sometimes I come through on a Monday morning and it's a 45-minute wait, that'd be awesome.
With Tech Trends, I'm Mona Rivera, ABC News.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is the Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. It's 5:39. Glad you're here with the Wednesday edition of the Opening Bell. In 2009, students age 25 and older accounted for about 40% of all college and graduate students. That's according to the National Center for Education Statistics. That group says that the figure is expected to rise to 43% by 2020. 9.6 million older students heading to campus. Adam Hitzman is Director of Marketing and Communication at McCormick College in Chicago, the oldest two-year private nonprofit institution in the state of Illinois. And we're happy to have him on this morning. Adam, welcome to the Opening Bell.
Thank you very much, Steve. Thank you for having me.
Well, and we wanted to reach out to you because we wanted to see, you know, with these numbers, how it's impacting schools. And you would probably have a good idea about that. What is the changing face of your enrollment looking like?
Well, the thing that really changes is about tailoring the courses to anybody who's looking to finish or complete their degree. And so it's looking at it not only for those students that are high school students that are coming right out of high school and going to college, but also for these adults that have a part of a career going, but maybe they want to change it, but they also have family life, and so they got to balance a lot of other things going on. And so it's really about tailoring these programs to fit whatever needs of the student there are.
And so how do you do that? Do you make classes available at different times and different kinds of days and online, or how does it work?
Yeah, it's a mixture of both, really. At McCormick College, we have both online classes as well as what we call hybrid classes. Those are classes where parts of them you can do online on your own time at any point in the day. But also parts of them what you do need to come into the campus for. But that's where we do also tailor it, where we have both morning, afternoon, and evening classes. So if you work late at night and you want to do morning classes instead, then you can always come in and do that, or vice versa, and working in the, coming to class in the evening.
Do the people who are coming back to school, you mentioned that they may already have a job and they're coming back, are they generally working in the field that they want to work in and maybe further their education along to maybe advance in that field, or are they looking for something else in the future?
It's actually a good mixture. There's quite a few people that are just looking to advance, that they've been in the field for a while, and the only thing that's held them back from being able to grow within that They've even been told straight up that they don't have a degree and that they're looking for people that do have a degree. But there's also a good mixture of people that have been doing something for a while, but they've just realized that they don't have the passion for it, that's not the field that they really want to be in. It's just something that they kind of fell into a while ago and just kept going to it just because it was a job and it paid for the bills. But now that they really want to find somewhere where they're passionate about and go into a career that makes them happy to go into every day, that they look to switch their fields as well.
How much does worker retraining or how much is worker retraining going to play into this? Because we've reported often here on the program that as we move into the future, workers in some fields are going to have to be retrained for new jobs and new responsibilities. Is that going to impact these numbers significantly?
Oh, yeah. There are plenty of companies out there that are looking for partnerships with different schools. So that way they can get their employees retrained or trained for the first time even. And there are companies out there that not only when they do find these partnerships, does it work for helping their employees out, but a lot of times they'll give incentives for their employees to do that as well, where they'll give certain monetary amounts for their students to go back to school with these different schools that they've partnered with.
The National Center for Education Statistics, I cited some of those numbers, and it just sort of generally includes the ages 25 and older. Do you have anything more in terms of, like, what are those ages? I mean, do you have students who are in their 30s and 40s and 50s? Is that what we're talking about?
Oh, yes. We have some students that have gotten into their 60s even. And for a lot of them, certain ones, it's just, hey, I this is something I've always wanted to do and I've never done it. We have people that have been very successful in their career before and they've said, this is the one mountain I've never climbed. I always kind of regretted never going and getting my degree. And so this is something that I really wanted to do. So there's a number of different reasons why somebody might go back to school. We have a number of people that also say, hey, I'm doing this because I have kids now, and I know that it's going to be hard for me to tell them that they have to go to school if I didn't do it myself. And so I want to set the right example for my kids, and I want to go get my degree so they can say, hey, my mom or my dad did that. There's no reason I can't go do it myself.
Now, you've probably, like I've seen maybe 10 years ago, there always seemed to be a sitcom or a movie that would make fun of older people going back to school, and that seemed to be sort of, not a happy thing for them socially. I bet you that's changed too, hasn't it? I mean, maybe a more welcoming attitude if you have more of these older students on campus.
Oh, yes, most definitely. And I think some of the things that some of the younger students look up to is the fact that some of these older students do have experience. These younger students are becoming to be very savvy in realizing that a lot of them are realizing that they don't know everything, which is hard to do sometimes when you're younger. You want to believe that the world is yours and you know everything already, but a lot of them get very humbled when they meet the older students and hear about the life experience that is going on there. And especially because a lot of some of these older students at certain universities or colleges are given credits for their life experience as well. A lot of times you'll have to test into it, but yeah, if you have been in the industry for a certain amount of time and have done a certain amount of things professionally, you can test into not having to take certain courses or credits at a college and only have to be there for a certain amount of time less than.
Adam, if somebody is thinking about going back to school and they're in this demographic that we're talking about, what would be your advice to them about getting the process started and finding the right fit for them in terms of a school?
Well, I would really say do your research. The first thing to really look for at a school that many people don't know about is looking at the accreditation body that they have. This really indicates for anybody else not only the quality of the education that you're getting, but it also indicates if you're looking to further yourself at a certain point, will your credits transfer? And so, for instance, at McCormick College, we're with the Higher Learning Commission, which is the same one that is with Northwestern and all the other bigger universities. So we've had students that, yeah, not only have transferred over to Northwestern, but we recently had a student that transferred over to Cornell University and all of his credits transferred. So that's the first thing to look at, first and foremost. And then looking at their different statistics as far as not only their graduation, but their placement rate, and seeing what other services that they provide to help you in accomplishing that goal that you're looking for, whether it is just completing the degree or whether it's looking to further your career. But in looking at the different services that these schools provide. And so it's really about doing your research and asking the right questions when you talk to them. It never hurts to go in for an interview and just talk to them and ask them questions about those different things that are really important to you.
And I bet that many schools like yours would welcome them to campus for a visit as well, just to check things out.
Oh, yes. Not only welcome them to campus, but also introducing them to the program director of whatever program that they're looking to go into, maybe talking to a few students to see, hey, do they do everything that they say they do? And a lot of the students will be very candid. Whether you're a good school or not, they'll tell you a lot of times. And you definitely can come into the campus at any point to do a tour of the campus and meet some individuals that you would be working with if you did start coming to the school.
Adam, great of you to be with us this morning, and thank you very much.
Oh, thank you very much, Steve. I appreciate you having me.
All right. Adam Hitzman is the Director of Marketing and Communication at McCormick College in Chicago. You can check them out, by the way, online at McCormick.edu. That's McCormick.edu.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, tech sector still under a little bit of pressure. The NASDAQ futures are off now by about 19 points. That's a good for a third. S&P and NASDAQ, S&P and Dow futures seem to be flat to positive. Gold and silver are trading higher. Oil is at 44.03. a barrel. Let's get the latest now in agriculture and commodities. And good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. Well, what the market giveth, the market taketh away. And that was certainly the case yesterday in the live cattle market, because the live cattle futures bowed to fund liquidation, wiping out Monday's sharp gains and further selling on lower wholesale beef values. The June contract, which will expire on Friday, closed $1.87 lower. Most actively traded August finished $3.25 lower. And spillover pressure from the live cattle market and caution ahead of the quarterly pig crop report due out Thursday pressured the CME lean hog futures, with the July contract down 47 cents. Now, as we look at the grain market yesterday, U.S. spring wheat futures hit their highest level in nearly 3 years. Forecasts for stressful weather in the northern plains. One analyst saying some of the spring wheat areas are just parched and they're going to remain dry over the next 10 to 14 days. So we saw Minneapolis Grain Exchange futures settling up 17 and three quarters cents. At the Chicago Board of Trade wheat futures, the nearby July contract was up 3 3/4 cents, corn up 1/4 cent, soybeans up 4 1/4 cents. The big news yesterday for agricultural producers, the Environmental Protection Agency withdrew the Waters of the U.S. rule. That was applauded by agriculturists all over the country. And how many more changes will we see? It'll be interesting to watch. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You too. And on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Wednesday, it is June 28th. The National Association of Realtors releases its pending home sales index for May. Last month, the association reported that Americans had retreated from signing contracts to buy homes in April for the second straight month. The report coming out today could shed some light on whether or not that is continuing to happen. A couple of other things happening today as well. Russian interference hearing at the Senate Intelligence Committee. Russia's interference in recent and future European elections, still the topic there. Blue Apron expected to announce the final pricing of its initial public offering today before shares for the meal kit delivery company commence trading on the New York Stock Exchange. That's expected to happen tomorrow. The offer price range per share was set at 15 to 17. That could change a little as we go through. through the day. The Senate Appropriations Committee also starts continues hearings on the FY 2018 budget for Capitol Police and others, security around the Capitol. The woman who drove her car with kids into the ocean off Daytona Beach 3 years ago will be back in court today, appears before a judge trying to get out of the hospital. NATO defense ministers meet in Brussels, and some of the things that could move the markets on this Wednesday, June 28th.